Fall TV. I love fall TV. I remember with school starting in September, with the weather changing, with living up north, and just like the new shows that would come on. It's almost kind of like just a new season of hope. Either your favorite show is back, or some new gem of a show you really catch on to and you really like. So it means that feeling of fall that I thoroughly enjoy.
It's a new chance for the networks to disappoint you.
It was the one good thing about school starting.
Yeah.
we get new TV shows.
Yeah.
Fall was sad because of school, but fall was great because your shows are back.
Yeah. And when I was a kid, it was like, new cartoons!
Yeah.
As a TV sports fan, even though I don't follow baseball, I still like watching the baseball playoffs.
Baseball playoffs, football comes back.
And I think I'm the only person who really likes NBA here. So, and this year, I can buy League Pass.
I don't know what that is.
It means I can watch every NBA team on my cable system.
Oh, I thought it meant you could drive on the turnpike.
I wish I would have that. That actually would be like a national highway pass would be great.
You have a whole lot of quarters in your console.
Well, it's 2014. We have our fall TV kicking off again.
Slowly trickling in.
It is
a better way of saying
it's really paced out.
It's just kind of like,
But see, that's good. Like when you're turning on a faucet, you turn it on slowly so you can sort of gauge before your TV, before your cup fills.
Right.
If you just turn on full blast, the cup's going to overflow. That's my metaphor for the day.
Wow.
I turn on the shower really slowly, so it takes an hour and a half to warm up.
That was a good metaphor. Randy is writing for Gotham, by the way.
That's a better metaphor than anything Gotham's produced.
I wish Randy was writing for Gotham.
You're like a monkey riding a Hot Wheels or whatever the hell it was in the second episode.
A monkey riding a Hot Wheel?
Oh, monkey riding a hot rod. That was an actual line from the second episode.
A racehorse.
A racehorse, you're
a
right.
A monkey on a racehorse.
Get a racehorse. Yes.
It's a solid line, Randy. We're really proud you wrote that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Speaking of which, let's go around the room. I'm Grant Davis, and with me is
Johnny Neal.
Johnny, how's it going?
It's groovy, man.
Yeah?
It's just groovy.
Anything new to report?
I'm going to a psychic development course this week.
Hey,
are you going to get telepathic powers?
I'm working on it.
Nice.
I've been working on it for a long time.
You're growing those Professor X eyebrows.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, did you?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at them.
Yeah.
They're tickling me from like 3 feet away.
Is that why I had that strong compulsion to come to your house and do yard work?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I got to really, sit on a bigger car battery when I make those kind of vibes next.
Yeah, because mostly I just kind of sat around thinking about how I might do it. I didn't quite get out there and do it.
Then I was getting distracted.
Yeah.
And that other voice you're hearing is Randy Lander.
Yes, yes. And also the other voice I'm hearing in my head is Johnny's.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So the opinions tonight you hear from me may also be Johnny Neal's as he tests his psychic power.
Yes.
Hopefully, Grant, when you put some better music underneath, put voices inside my head, that police song. You know, that police song. Voices inside my head.
No. But speaking of which, what do you think about the police?
Oh, I didn't watch that clip all the way, but I meant to.
Greg might actually go, I like the third album.
No, I did like the third album.
Oh,
Senyata,
that was great.
Senyata Mandata. But I did, that was awesome. I've never seen, I don't know why. I always thought about the police as a name for a band was just, it makes
lousy.
Sense. Yeah, but because of who they were, it worked. But if we were sitting around the table like, what are we going to call this podcast? Let's call it The Police.
Wait. Is it possible NWA just really hates Sting? This whole time we've been misinterpreting that?
That's right.
They it is NWA,
Sting.
Right?
Yeah, they hate Sting, Stuart Copeland, and Andy Summers.
They had a serious
Andy Summers that they really
have. Yeah, I hate Andy. That would be funny. That would be the part two of that. That would be hilarious. And Ice Cube comes out and says
specifically.
Or Ice-T, who actually had, he had the cop killer. And he actually means he's going to kill Andy Summers.
A lot of people mistaken. I'm okay with Sting, that Andy Summers boy.
And that guy who loves the police is our fourth chair, Greg J. Amani Smith.
That's me. And in all seriousness, I actually don't have too much of a problem with law enforcement because my father was law enforcement.
Ah, there you go.
But I did, I've been driving while black, walking while black, talking while black. Black by being black, so I've been harassed by the cops.
It's okay, I've been busted for walking while Sting. So
that would be awesome. Sting is one of three.
I've also had sex for 12 hours without anything.
I always
tantric.
I thoroughly enjoy who I am in my life, but as I said, if I had to be three white guys, I only pick three. I'd either be Brad Pitt.
You have three white Sting, guys to me.
Or David Bowie.
Ah.
I'd be one to three.
Wow. Now, in this hypothetical, would you be all three at the same time?
No, if I had to pick one.
Like a group mind?
That'd be pretty awesome.
If like a Cerberus.
Like a Cerberus. If you were David Bowie, though, that's like getting a million more wishes.
Three-headed white man.
Bowie, you get to be like
and I'd be married
12
to
different old... Yeah, you have a hell of a beard there.
Yeah.
But, you'd have... That's like being 12 different white
Yeah,
guys.
I probably would be Bowie over Brad Pitt and... No, Sting. Sting's the reason why I became a musician, because I saw him with the Blue Turtles tour he did in 1986. And I've always thought Sting... He's a pompous ass, but... He's good.
He's
smart.
Now he's a playwright.
He's a
Broadway.
I totally didn't think this podcast would turn into a bunch of Sting love, but okay.
It did.
Today we're talking about fall TV. I already kind of covered that, but before we get into that, we have some other house cleaning to do.
Please all rise for the national anthem. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. We're patriots
Randy
here at the TV dudes.
Arms. Randy, would you like to lead us in the pledge?
Well, first off, I actually would like to point out that we have an iTunes shout out. And we only have one this week, but what people do is go to the iTunes store, click on the TV dudes, and give us a 5-star rating and write us a review. And we'll read it on the show.
Do it with all your new iPhone Pluses. Oh, you can't because you have to order them and wait until November to get them.
Bitter?
I'm not bitter.
A little
no.
bit bitter. It sounds a little bitter.
My iPhone 5 works fine. I don't know what you're playing with.
Use your iPhone 5. Use your 5S. Use your C.
Well,
use Android. Use them all.
Our shout out comes from Shannon 54321.
What?
Who says... love the new format, the old format, either way, it doesn't matter. I love you guys. You keep me current on TV news and laughing at all your opinions and views on great TV shows. Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You.
Yeah,
Thank
thanks,
you.
Dude.
Thanks, 54321. What?
And once again, yeah, please go to the iTunes store, give us that rating, and it really helps out the show, gives us a little bit better visibility.
Yes.
And then let's move on to some questions. We got a couple questions from our listeners. You guys can either mail us at mail@thetvdudes.com or I think I'm just posting on our Facebook and Twitter page.
Yeah.
You guys can go like. And our first question comes from Bane Dzhokic. I'm assuming it's kind of Russian.
He's the guy that's always in like every show ever, the bald guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He was
Bane Dzhokic.
No, he was the bad guy in the last Bond movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know you're talking about. He's got his name starts with an I, but he's like in everything.
Yeah,
he's
on
some,
Homicide.
He's in
the little white dude with the white hair. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's on that new show with.
He's in every new show.
Well, no, that secretary show. Madam Secretary.
Yeah.
I love that guy. Though.
Anyway, this guy wants to know: did we watch the latest The League episode and the origins of Dirty Randy and Rafi?
Oh
yes.
Did you guys actually watch that too?
Less than an hour ago.
Yeah, I watched that.
Good lord, that was funny.
I love those episodes. I wonder, Grant, if you hated this one as much as you hated the last one.
I did not hate it as much.
Oh,
it was a little bit funnier, but...
I love this one.
Oh, jeez.
His family being killed by his best friend falling to his death. I mean,
it was a great origin story.
He didn't have a beard or anything.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, oh my god.
The nurse... was the psychotic nurse was so awesome.
Yeah.
I loved her. And I don't know the actress. I looked her up on IMDb. I don't really know her from
Nurse Ratched.
But I've seen her in other stuff.
She's
seen her in a ton of stuff.
She's in everything.
But
yeah, she's the lesbian nurse friend of Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
And Mindy Project.
She's been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
She's in Burning Love. She's got a great bit in Burning Love.
And I'm pretty sure the right-hand man to her was a guy from Lonely Island.
Yeah, yeah. It was the great little guest casting, and I thought it was really, really funny and bizarre. And I also love that they sort of went, I wondered if they were going to keep Rafi dead.
I will say that if anyone is hesitant to watch The League because they're not into the football aspect, you can certainly watch this.
Those
because
have nothing to do with football.
Nothing.
Her name, and she deserves that everyone know her name because she's always that chick in that thing.
Yeah.
Her name is June Diane Raphael.
Yep.
Ooh, that's a great name.
Yeah. So, there you go.
That's too many names.
That's a shout out to you, Ms. Raphael.
She's going
to
be an assassin with
we
that
think
name.
Think that you're absolutely great.
Yeah, she was fantastic. I love the two of them having the shock therapy. I loved, that was actually my favorite episode from last season. And this may be my favorite episode of this
season. I can't believe it. I can't believe you love that episode so much.
It's so good.
It made me want to watch all of the League, you know, to go ahead and get caught up.
Yes.
I really enjoyed that episode. I love the off-the-cuff nature of that show.
Yeah.
It's just like, hey, you doing anything this week?
Yeah.
How about showing up? And there's also this sense of, we're a little busy this week filming our other shows.
Right.
Maybe y'all could film one with Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole rest of the cast is like, we're doing stuff.
All right, let's move on to our next question, which comes from Fernando Rodriguez. He says, when it comes to watching TV, do you guys prefer the weekly release method of standard TV or the Netflix method of all episodes at once?
That's a loaded, kind of a weird question.
Do you like binge watching do you like binge watching or do you like something paced out?
I like having TV when I want it.
Binge watching.
But I don't have to watch all of them at once. Like, I still haven't made it all the way through season 2 of Rectify. But I love knowing that when I want to.
You want instant access. Okay.
But, you know, I also look forward to shows on a weekly basis.
I find that, I don't know, I lament what's lost with the water cooler talk of the weekly doled out format for certain shows.
I haven't had a job for 17 years. So.
But you socialize, you run into people
really,
and you're like,
really
you know what? This is a social
circle. This is pretty
circle.
Much it.
You know what's weird, Grant, is that I get what you're saying, but for whatever reason, I'm sort of in the place with Johnny where I was like, I like to have it when I want it. I do like watching bit by bit, but I sort of do my water cooler like on Facebook or whatever whenever I feel like doing it.
Really, you don't talk to people about like the latest Game of Thrones episode?
Yeah, but
I don't care if it's that week or the week after. As long as I don't get, as long as I have spoilers on it, which is easy enough to avoid.
Well, it's easy to avoid if everyone's watching at the same time. It comes out that week.
Yeah, that's true.
But I mean, for me,
and then you can't do that with Orange Is the New Black. Oh, did you see that one episode? They all are just kind of a big jumbled mess because I binge watch all the way through.
It depends on the show for me. I mean, like the first season of House of Cards, I binge watched, I should say, but that's also because I had the time.
Yeah.
Now I don't have that kind of time really to binge watch like something 12 hours for a day.
Yeah.
I end up binge watching, is old shows that I like because I end up like zipping through, you know, certain scenes and want to get to a scene. I binge watched Breaking Bad. And, like, when I caught up to it before the final season, before, you know, the split season, and I actually liked binge watching it, because it was like, to me, you know, it was like a Tarantino movie, kind of. It was, like, interesting, and the twists are coming up.
Yeah.
And then by the time of the final season, I kind of started thinking about it way too much, and then I started overanalyzing it, so that's one of the reasons why I kind of get down on it. But when it was all in one area, I was like, okay, I can kind of, I'm in the flow, I can deal with it. So it depends for me on what to show it. But generally, if I have the time, yes, and no.
I'm in the same boat. Like, when I watched, I was glad I binge-watched Leftovers. I think I would have liked it less if I'd had more time between it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad I binge-watched Arrow Season 2, because I know that the build-up, you know, seeing all the character stuff develop that way. But, you know, comes down to, while I've enjoyed binge-watching shows, Rectify is another one. If I had to choose, if it was like gun to my head, you can get one or the other, I would choose the weekly release model. I like having stuff where I'm sort of forced to take a break between episodes.
Mm-hmm.
When I watch Mad Men, and now that's my favorite show, and my favorite show ever, when I watch Mad Men as it's coming out, I end up watching it probably two more times before the next episode comes out.
Yeah.
Which is not the same. That's like binging on one episode.
But you wouldn't do that if you had
I wouldn't do that if I had them all
in. But see, I do, because I've got season 1, 2, 3.
I've got them all on DVD.
Yeah. And so
Blu-ray, actually.
I end up binge-watching them because it's just to catch stuff.
Yeah.
Or like I remember.
But I've already seen them.
Yeah.
But having the
that I've already seen.
Having that space between each episode allows you to kind of appreciate and dissect the artistry.
Yeah, but that's what I rewatch.
That you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't see in just a weekly.
That's not a thing everybody likes. Like, I don't necessarily need to do that.
Well, it depends.
But maybe
on
you should appreciate that, because there's something more than just the plot. Otherwise, you can just read a synopsis.
But sometimes, like, some things end in such a way that you're just going, I don't want to wait a whole week.
Right.
Yeah. I need to know what happens next.
And that's why I said it depends, because it's like, I listen, for instance, I listen to the Beatles every day. You know, and they've been out for over 50 years. I'm a huge fan. I know all their stuff backwards and forwards, but so, like, it's like when I rewatch The Wire, or rewatch The Godfather, or rewatch Mad Men, or 24, or whatever. I like to get inside of it, or just realize. Sometimes I rewatch, like, God, this is really stupid. I can't believe I was into this, you know, so much. Or I was like, I did not get how great this is, or the subtleties where you can go back and watch, especially after reading about stuff, or like reading about with the creators, or what people were thinking when they were doing that, and then rewatching with that critical eye. I mean, it depends. But I guess more like what Johnny and Randy says, I like having the opportunity to watch it when I want to.
Yeah, okay. Next question. I guess this can go to Johnny. Peter Severance wants to know what your thoughts on The Flash are and how it differentiates itself from Arrow.
Well, I don't know yet.
Oh, it hasn't come out yet?
It hasn't come out yet. I like what I saw on... I like what I saw when he was on Arrow.
Yeah.
I like the notion of the origin happening almost a year before the show comes out. You know, he's still in a coma. I gotta say, I'm gonna get on the costume bashing boat. If there was ever a costume that would have been fun to play with for functionality,
yeah,
it sure as hell would have been The Flash. You know, I mean, you could have probably even gotten Nike or somebody to sponsor the design.
So you would have liked to be more, like, less like the comics and more like a different costume?
I would not like it to look like a leather breakdancer's outfit.
Yeah, I can see that.
I guess, for me, it's got a kind of an MC Hammer thing.
Did you say you're not wrong? Is it the Arrow 2 Electric Boogaloo?
It's kind of, yeah. It's,
nothing
it's,
about it says lightweight and good for running.
You know, nothing says, I'm going to wick the sweat off of this runner's body like leather.
Yeah, I guess my thing with The Flash is that I feel like it's one of the best superhero costumes ever done. And that they got
in the comics or the show?
In the comics.
Me too.
And so I feel like they got even close to it. I'm willing to forgive any weird
best costume, the red pajamas?
The Flash costume, the classic Flash costume, is one of the best costumes ever.
It is, because it's so simple.
It's up there.
And it's so...
The red pajamas?
Absolutely.
The red footy pajamas?
Yeah. Okay.
I love what you
are we talking about the same one? The red one?
The classic Flash costume.
Footy pajama, little baby kid. Like, it might as well have two little buttons in the back for him to poop out of.
Is up there with the Ditko Spider-Man and Batman's costume.
I think you're wrong.
I know, but one of us owns a comic shop, and therefore my
opinion. Oh, wow, dropping that. Okay.
Bam.
And by the way, before we leave the Flash topic, to throw in the comic store, they are doing a comic book tie-in to The Flash, which I read this week, and it's really good.
Okay.
So if the show is anything like what they're doing, it seems like it is, a lot of supporting cast and stuff, it's going to be fun.
Are they doing a comic book for Gotham?
God, I hope not.
Are they going to do a coloring book?
All right.
But anyway, I like what I've seen so far, and costume aside, I really like what it looks like they're going to do, because it looks like they're going to do a whole lot of him learning how to be the Flash.
I imagine little bit more levity or comedy in
there. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, Dennis McElwain says, what has been the hardest episode of any TV that you've sat through? And he says he has real trouble getting through the Caretaker episode of Doctor Who.
I read that. I wasn't quite sure which way.
I think you can interpret it either way.
So,
what has been difficult?
Terrible,
emotionally or bad?
I think the emotional is what he's talking about.
I imagine emotional.
I don't think he's talking about bad episodes. I think he's talking about something that you liked but that was emotionally hard to get through.
I'll go ahead and go first because I can quickly say...
When you cried, a couple of times you cried.
Okay, the finale to 6 Feet Under.
Yes.
There's another episode of 6 Feet Under, actually, that hit me harder than that.
Mm-hmm.
And without... It's hard to go in without saying spoilers for that show.
I think the show's been on long enough that there aren't any spoilers.
It's been off for almost 10 years.
Yeah, but this is like a spoiler.
I won't remember.
If anyone watches it. But the death of one of the brothers' wife and kid and the burial scene That that's just heart wrenching.
In what?
In Six Feet Under.
Six Feet Under.
One of the brothers' wife and kid.
Yeah. Did you see it? The show.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
it's been a long time.
In like the fourth season, fifth season, he's burying his wife.
Yeah.
After she dies, he disappears.
Yeah.
And dies.
Right.
I think she was pregnant at the time. She didn't have a kid. She was pregnant.
Oh. Yeah. That was rough.
Wow. It was just.
This show went on 9 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That was like. You're not spoiling anything.
Well, great news, I haven't watched the ending, but I don't know if I ever will go around.
What do you guys think? What was like the hardest episode?
I'll go last. I don't know if I have one.
I gotta say, last week's episode of The Bridge left me feeling like,
really?
I'm gonna go punch somebody.
I was also thinking about, I've just been rewatching Friday Night Lights, and I think I mentioned this every single episode. Yeah. But there's this episode called The Sun in the fourth season where Matt Saracen's father dies. And the whole episode is just also.
That was a really hard
really
episode.
Intense.
That,
yeah.
Very believable, very small town.
They
very
play
believable.
It, they play it very sincere.
Yeah. They do. I would also say the hardest episode of Friday Night Lights that I had to get through was called season two.
Actually, I would say, I've got a couple. I would say season four of The Wire when he burned Randy's house down. And he's walking out, and then Carver's walking out after Randy's like, he said, I thought you were going to save me, huh? And his foster mom is burnt, and you never see her again.
Yeah.
That got me. And I cannot remember, I think it was season three, midway through of Mad Men, where Don breaks down in front of,
the suitcase? Is that the one?
It wasn't the suitcase. No. It was before that. It was when he breaks down to...
In front of Peggy?
No. January Jones. God damn. What's her name? Betty. Where he gets caught.
Yeah.
And with the box.
And he talks about Adam.
And the way he drops his keys. And then you see, and obviously that woman's still in the car. Actually is Abigail Spencer.
Right.
From Rectify. But that whole scene with him in there, it really got me because it's like, him begging, him being totally broken, him having no power at all. That's the only time I felt kind of good for Betty. But that one got me. And actually, in a weird way, the last episode of season 8 of... Oh, no. Season 5 of 24 when Edgar died. I don't know why. Because he just has...
Edgar.
He has a stupid look on his face. And it's like the last...
Yeah, but the whole episode wasn't... I mean, it was just one powerful scene.
Yeah, but when he... Yeah, when he... Sean Astin, his death scene was ridiculously bad. But Edgar was just like...
Edgar was sad.
No, this is very sad.
Everyone loved Edgar.
Everybody loved Edgar, but that's so far I can think of. Other than that,
Randy?
Maybe,
I've got one, and I don't want to spoil it for Johnny because it's a rectify from the season.
Ooh.
But it was between Tawny and her husband.
Yes.
And that was a great scene.
That was
so hard to watch.
Well, their whole arc was difficult to watch this year. In a beautiful, awesome one.
Well, you have something to look forward to.
I'm halfway through it, and I'm
haven't gotten there yet.
Wow. Yeah. These two. Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's... we got one more comment here and one more question.
If I could just say one thing, that whole show is difficult to watch.
That's true.
No, you can't say one more thing.
Every reason.
We're moving on.
I'm sorry.
it's intense.
All right. Scott Johnson says he wants to say that Johnny's theory about Rupert Murdoch and milk... can also be applied to sandwiches.
I love that.
Considering the newest episode of Gotham.
You should see the chalkboard on my beautiful mind wall. It's good that you can draw milk with chalk real easy.
He's like the woman from Homeland, you know, when she goes through his like manic fits and he tries to get all the milk everywhere. It even goes back to like the old milk ads with the mustache.
That's right.
To try to figure out where is this coming from.
That's right.
Is that Fox? Was that Fox back then? With the milk ads and drinking? I want to figure it out. I want to find the answer. You're going to get to it.
I think that, well, I guess we'll wait till news, but I think that's part of the reason You're the Worst got renewed.
is because of the American Dairy Association. It's a some kind of big deep dairy.
Our last question actually is going to lead into our show's topic, so I'm going to hold off for that.
And let me just say thank you for listening, America. Thank you for following up on that and letting me know I'm not crazy.
No one said that, Johnny.
I think I specifically said you are crazy.
That's what I heard.
We know.
I found it interesting.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with some news.
This week, I mean, we got a lot to talk about fall TV. What's already on, but let's talk about what's coming up as well.
All right.
In the more movies coming to TV, there's a few of these stories this week.
Mm-hmm.
Big is getting a TV show.
Of course.
And I'm surprised it hasn't happened before.
Here's the thing. Big is actually it's in development at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It is from Kevin Beagle, who you may know from the co-creator of shows Randy watches like Cougar Town and Enlisted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
he's kind of the Penny Marshall of the new millennium.
And Mike Royce, who you might know from a little show called Everybody Loves Raymond and co-creator of Men of a Certain Age.
Right.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
That's good.
He was just here in Austin at the TV thing in June.
You put those two together, that's actually a pretty good blend, I think, to bring Big to the small screen.
Now, did they ever make Freaky Friday into a TV show? I mean, that whole, swapping body.
I feel like
thing.
They should have, but I don't know if they did.
I'm surprised they haven't done that.
As a whole TV series? Like, maybe in the, 80s, it was like a cartoon series.
Well, I mean, they had like
Big John Little John in the 70s. That was
did they switch? They switched
it was
bodies.
A Sid and Marty Krofft show. Oh,
I don't know if that's sustainable.
I'm just surprised they haven't done that.
Plenty of shows, I'm sure, have done the episodes. Yeah, but
right.
How do you make a whole season without you first getting to know those people in order to
warrant
the
shift? How do you make a whole
shift?
Season of a show where you're not going, oh man, that guy's mother must be losing her goddamn mind? I mean, really, that's kind of the
yeah. That is that is
you
the whole
the reality of the situation settles in on you when it's a series.
That is the whole at the center of Big.
Unless
they
do it like 24, which the whole series takes place.
Oh, you're right. I hadn't even thought about that because it does take. I mean, Big the movie takes place over months.
Yeah.
But you're right. They don't dwell on it because it's only 2-hour movies. So you don't think about it. But you're right. Over a show, that might be depressing. That's
about a kid missing?
They're going to have to deal with that because, that's dark.
Does it say if it's going to be a guy? I kind of they should do a
just
female.
In development. They don't know anything. Oh, that'd be interesting.
I think having a woman that suddenly just jumps to adulthood and has to deal with that.
You mean like that Jennifer Garner vehicle 13 going
to
30?
I love that movie.
Yeah.
She was great in that.
That was a good movie.
She was really good in that.
And that was a good movie because everybody else grew up too. And so it was kind of like, it was really more like she just passed out for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, because then it was like, I don't know, what did I do? How did you turn into Mark Ruffalo?
Well, it's in development, so there's nothing, we don't know anything more about it, but potentially good.
Because Robert Loggia's not looking too good.
Makes sense at Fox, too. I can see that. It makes sense at Fox,
yeah,
I can see that.
Also in development, Happy Madison, Adam Sandler's production company, is doing Real Genius, the 1985 college campus comedy starring Val Kilmer.
Was one of the funniest, greatest, awesome, subversive movies ever.
I probably watch it once a year.
I really? Me too. Yeah. I loved that
really
movie.
Funny.
I've
really
never
clever.
Seen it all the way through.
I've never seen it.
Val Kilmer, that's when he used
his defining role.
It's like...
Is it?
Val Kilmer.
Really? Beyond Tombstone. Beyond
good,
the
good Val Kilmer.
No. Not Mad Mardigan from Willow?
No.
Not,
although I like that one too.
Not Top Gun?
I like that one too.
Batman Forever?
But the best...
Top Secret?
The most fun... and. It's closest to top secret,
right.
Actually.
Yes.
But this
okay,
is...
so those are his two defining roles.
Yes.
The Val Kilmer definition is real genius at top
secret.
To me, yes. That's
so he peaked pretty young.
That's the book, yes. That's true.
The weird thing about, like, because now I've been thinking about Michael Keaton because that new movie is coming out. It's like Val Kilmer and Michael Keaton at the time were really funny guys. And for some reason,
yeah.
they both got sticks up their asses and stopped doing comedy for the most part.
Yeah.
And just like,
well, Michael,
you got to treat me
Michael
as
Keaton just stopped doing anything.
Yeah.
Just like that guy Tom Hanks.
Yeah, look at Tom Hanks. But I mean, but Val Kilmer, I mean, in Real Genius, and then I can't remember. The bad guy, who's a bad professor? He's in everything.
Oh, right? Yeah. He's the guy from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
The guy from, I mean,
funny.
You know him. William something.
No.
Like
yeah.
His name.
And then just, yeah. And just the way all those characters are great. All the whole premise of the movie is funny. Go back and watch it and Google it.
You think it'll do well translated to TV?
Now, here's the trick.
Well,
because
yes.
It's not going to be the same thing. They said that they describe it as a TV reboot that'll be a workplace comedy set in the present day and centering around the relationship between two co-workers with incompatible personalities.
That's not
remotely likely.
If anything, it should be like...
I thought it was like a spy movie.
Well,
no, it's about geniuses, like an MIT type thing. And my buddies I know who a buddy I know who went to MIT did all that thing says that it's the best depiction of sort of actual smart nerd culture he's ever seen.
So is it like two nerds like Better Off Ted?
I
kind of like show those two guys.
Is it like Lady in Red?
No,
it was
like
that was kind of the wave at the time.
It's
right?
Like Lady in the Trip. Weirdly.
No, Lady in Red where the two nerds created a chick. And, oh, it was William Atherton is who.
You're talking about Weird Science.
Weird Science.
Weird Science.
No,
this, not Lady in Red.
Okay,
but
so
she was the Lady in Red, right? Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah, she was.
She wore a red outfit at once, I think.
Yeah.
But, she's Lady in Red.
Like the Flash.
She was at the Red Wedding, actually. She.
So, well, the thing is, like, Val Kilmer is, like, the kid is a genius at college, and then this new kid comes up who is 16, and then so Val Kilmer's got to mentor this guy, and so it's kind of a college thing, and it's
like Tony Stark and Amadeus Cho. Gotcha.
They were mismatched personalities. I mean, that was, but here's the thing. If the show is going to be a reboot that sort of takes the movie as the backstory and does its, the characters Chris Knight, and his fellow student in Extreme Brown Nose are Kent, and I'm like, okay, but
no,
that's not
Kent.
Kent was the bad guy.
Kent was the bad guy. Funny that the funniest thing when you put the implant in his braces.
Yeah, but Chris.
Yeah.
If Chris Knight and his buddy whose name I've forgotten.
Yeah, I can't remember.
If the two of them are now working at like a smart people workplace like a Google, and they are still doing the same kind of thing. That could work if it's like them in a workplace.
You know,
but
the closest thing like
call.
That? It was Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing like that kind of... That's what the movie kind of feels like, Silicon Valley.
Okay.
Yeah. Something like that could work. At any rate, the...
I want to just place bets. There's going to be an Indian in the lead.
Oh, yeah.
One of the main guys is going to be an Indian.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Let's see. Craig DeGrario, who works on Workaholics... wrote the script with David King from Parks and Rec and The League.
Awesome, awesome.
That's all decent. NBC is eyeing the project.
Okay. Well, we're a ways away.
So
we'll see.
I'm curious, but yes, I'm with Greg. If you haven't seen Real Genius, go see Real Genius. It's funny.
Very
go
funny.
See it.
Yeah. Go see it.
Is it playing somewhere?
It's at the drive-in. it's at
the local. Funny. Go see it because it's
playing at the drive-in on Buffalo Speedway.
See it. Real Genius.
Yeah,
okay.
It's at your local drive-in.
$2 a carload.
It's a double feature with Heat. Val Kilmer's other defining role.
yes, Val Kilmer night at the Buffalo Speedway driveway.
So more a little further along the development cycle, we've got The Walking Dead spinoff. Which is happening, and they say what is going on in the zombie apocalypse with other parts of the world, and it sounds like basically it is going to be not a prequel, but it's a prequel of sorts. It's set in the early days of the zombie pandemic when the living still outnumbered the dead. It's in a different town, and they've got character developed. No cast yet, but characters listed.
My understanding is that it's going to be at an inn in Vermont. It's going to have a kind of an older,
is this
very
a Bates
funny,
Motel joke?
Nice guy playing the innkeeper.
Yep.
Bob Newhart's going to play that part.
Okay, Newhart.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
You have Bob Newhart be the innkeeper, and he doesn't know what
is that. Are you saying that because then they'll be able to get multiple Daryls?
Yes. I think it would just be like,
we need three Daryls.
You can imagine.
Daryl, Bob Newhart, other brother Daryl.
Bob Newhart in the dead. Bob Newhart's Walking Dead.
So
I'd watch that.
So I would basic, totally watch that.
The basic rundown is there's the lead is a Latino man in his early 40s. He's got a whip-smart and rebellious teenage son, who's known as the angriest kid in town.
Haven't seen one of those before.
He's as angry as a zombie.
Nancy Tompkins, a 30-something single mom with two kids.
At least they'll be well-armed.
She looks like the girl next door, but there's an edge to her. And then she's got Nick Tompkins, her screwed-up teenage son, too old to stay home, too scared to flee.
Oh, my God.
And Ashley Tompkins, Nancy's mostly level-headed teenage daughter. Her ambition is in direct proportion to her other older brother's failures. She loves her mom, but it's time to get out of Dodge.
Are they all in a band together? And like then the there's
Andrea Chapman, a somewhat wilted flower child, 40-something.
Are you
Andrea.
Making this up?
Nope. Yes,
wilted
another Andrea
flower child
has retreated to the outskirts of the city to recover after a horrible marriage. I hope to hell that whoever wrote these character descriptions is not involved in writing the show.
Oh, I hope they are.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
pretty... Wilted flower jug.
So, two single parents with kids
and an apocalypse.
So and a hippie.
So, it's like Apocalypse Brady Bunch, Apocalypse Partridge Family.
So, if there's one thing...
Newhart.
If there's one thing the TV has taught me, it's that teenage kids are always great. I mean,
Homeland is also like Homeland.
Homeland,
also
24
with Big Bang Theory. They could tie that in, so they could all get killed.
Friday Night Lights is good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
The Wirehead Teenagers.
All right.
Anyway,
what else we got?
It's not great, son. Anyway. Okay. FX has given second season renewals to comedies Married and You're the Worst.
Yay, Brett Gelman!
Did not see that coming, but I'm really happy about it.
They got my letter.
Did your letter ever threaten it? Like,
no.
Renew these shows.
They said, I know about the milk thing, so renew the shows or I'm
that's,
talking.
That's what it is, the milk conspiracy.
The milk, Johnny the Plug, Neil. I know about the milk.
I know about
renew the renew the shows.
And finally...
Don't let your milk expire.
David Fincher... has casually let slip in an interview last week about Gone Girl that he is coming back to TV in a major way.
Coming back to TV?
Coming because he did House of Cards. Who's involved in
House
of
Cards. Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he is attached to HBO's adaptation of the British conspiracy series Utopia with Gone Girl author and screenwriter Gillian Flynn on board.
I thought Utopia was already on.
It's a, yeah,
this
there's
is,
a Fox
that's
version.
That's the crappy Fox Utopia. This is going to be the good HBO Utopia.
There should be more words for Utopia. Oh, wait, there are.
but according to The Guardian, the interview, he is planning to direct the entire series.
Yeah, that's...
That's the way to do it, Mr. Fincher.
I like this new trend, although it's probably putting a bunch of directors out of jobs because these big names or whoever is just coming in and, oh, I'm just going to take an entire show. And they're like, oh, fuck, that used to be like we shared this
You know what I want? I want some of the TV... Like, I want Michelle McLaren to direct an entire season of something.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to see some of these directors from, like, Breaking Bad and all those guys to do
and
a full season.
Men.
Yeah.
Or like Van Patten, who does a lot of Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
I like see him do something like that.
Well, it definitely is going to change the nature of the show.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it is business reasons, too. I mean, films are becoming more pain in the ass to get funded and to do that. And then
long-form narrative in your vision?
Exactly.
Cool.
So you can even do... And now you can get those stars that you work with. Like, if Fincher is doing this, who knows who we can get, even just for guest-offs on it. So... it's a trend. I think it's a good trend, personally. So
what are you saying the show is? It's about a bunch of people.
I don't know. It's based on based on a BBC show, Utopia, thriller, conspiracy thriller. I don't know much.
Wait,
about
by the way, you know there should be a book or something on the BBC and their artistic development of these shows because all we do. I mean, yeah, we took the country from the British, but man, all we do is just steal their TV shows.
And the French.
Yeah. So,
yeah, exactly. Sorry.
The synopsis for this show is the story follows a small group of people who find themselves in possession of a manuscript sequel of a cult graphic novel called The Utopia Experiments.
Is it Nazi Clock?
Which is rumored to have predicted the worst disasters of the last century. This leads them to be targeted by an organization known as the Network.
This sounds like Foucault's Pendulum.
Which they must avoid to survive. Using the manuscript, they must uncover the meaning hidden in its pages before the disasters depicted become reality.
Nicolas Cage is attached to this.
This sounds great. This sounds like his work on The Game, man. I love this.
This sounds good.
Like Sleepy Hollow.
Or it sounds like National Treasure 4 with Nicolas Cage.
I'll go see National Treasure 4.
No, I like those movies. Those movies are
the notes that I've been keeping about milk.
Seriously, though.
Books. If you see the books that I read, I got a lot of shit in the margins.
Very small. If this was put on CBS, I'd be like, what the fuck is this plot?
Yeah. On HBO?
David Fincher? I'm like, all right, you guys are going to probably do this well.
How long ago was the BBC show?
Let's see.
If it's available.
2014, so it's recent.
Okay.
Wow. But if you ruin it, you spoil the whole Fincher show for yourself.
Well, it debuted January 2013.
His stuff's good two or three times.
Didn't he redo Girl the Dragon Tattoo?
He did.
Yep.
And both of them are great. I like both of them.
I agree.
All right, is that it, Randy?
That is it. That's the news for this week.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back to talk about Fall TV. When I talk about carries on, reasons only new. When I talk about it, Aries or treason's already new. Bend me to talk about it, I could stand to prove. If we can get around it, I know that it's true. Well, I talked about it, carry Chris Hatfield asks, why are there so few new fall TV shows? Seems like everything being released are returning shows. Are we set for a late season bonanza of new shows?
Yes, we are. Fox cut things kicked off early, and so that's why we've seen a few new Fox shows, but the networks are barely starting to release. But that trickle's already turning into a bit more of a flood. We've got 7 shows we're talking about this week. I think 3 new and the others are all returning. So let's just get right to it.
All right.
We will kick off with Black-ish.
Black-ish.
Which is ABC's new family comedy starring Anthony Anderson. Has Lawrence Fishburne in it. And also Larry Wilmore from Daily Show is one of the guys who sort of broke the first like 12 episodes before he had to leave to go to his Comedy Central show.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to watch this, but I heard some generally good buzz, and we watched it, and some of us liked it, and some of us very much did not.
I thought it was okay. They had a couple lines that made me laugh out loud. I am into Tang for Anthony Anderson, I always have. So, you know, never thought he had the right vehicle, but when he's good, either funny or when he's good dramatically, he's really, really good, and I didn't know why he just couldn't get the right vehicle.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to watch it for him. Some of his stuff is kind of buffoonish, but I don't know. There was one line that I thoroughly enjoyed when they were in bed talking about, you got to go for that. You know, remember the life we talked about? You know, we're going to hike up the Himalayas, have sex at the Louvre, and you know, get the promotion. Now, if you don't get this, we're going to be 0-3. That made me laugh out loud. I don't know why, because he was so earnest, and that's Tracy Ross plays his wife. And just the kid, the fact that his son wanted a bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah, was funny. And then the scenes from the bat mitzvah were hilarious. But I don't know. But it definitely has some kind of chunky writing, I would say. But I'm willing to give it some, let it grow.
It seemed pretty raw. Yeah. Like, they have a lot of work to do, but I appreciate the format. I like the voiceover technique. I like the kind of the characters they've established with his family. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and then always the whole. I love when they do like the hyper reality of what you think it really is. I mean, that comes from one of the greatest Saturday Night Live skits ever with Eddie Murphy. You know when he goes in whiteface. And,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That whole thing always makes me laugh, and I like the way they did that. Like with.
When he's going and saying hi to the black people and the way he talks to the other people. Yeah.
And then even like when he kept it real. I don't know why it was ridiculous, I thought it was hilarious.
You mean the reel he presented with the LA, yeah, with Polanco and the LA riots?
Which is an old joke, and what's one of the best things about the David, the guy from Comedy Central,
Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, when Keeping It Real Goes Wrong.
I'm not Black Card. You're not Black
Card. I know, man. It's been a long day. But I'm willing to give it a chance, but I can see why people don't like it.
People like me? Yeah. I hated it. I like the idea of it, though, don't get me wrong. Yeah. So I went in hoping for something, but, you know, once again, you got... the problem, to me, was real basic. He wants something that he can't even decide what it is that he wants. He's having a midlife crisis that he over-narrates. He never stops narrating.
I agree the narration's a little bit much.
So his midlife crisis about wanting some kind of culture was basically he wanted to be poor. That's all I could understand. Because this is a millionaire. He's got a 3-car garage in what looks like a Beverly Hills home. He doesn't have a lot to complain about culturally.
No, well,
I think that's the thing. It's not that he's complaining. He's worried that in gaining all this, he's lost his identity. And I think that's a reasonable thing.
But his identity, to me, okay, I take this kind of thing from my own perspective,
Yeah.
You know, we all hit that point in our lives where we go, who the hell am I? If you hit that point, you shouldn't look outwards and say, my kids aren't being the way I want them to be. It bothered me that he wasn't happy for his kid finding his own way in life. I really felt that he was kind of a dick.
It's that whole idea that you want to pass on some element of your culture, of your heritage, and then you want to be able to retain some element of that. I mean, I've had my parents try and impart some of that, and they get bummed if some of that hasn't fully passed over to me, and I get it.
I don't want to go to a Klan rally, Dad.
I don't like Mayonnaise sandwiches.
I'm different. You raised me to be over this.
Yeah.
I went to that Klan rally because he wanted it.
Just as once. I'll meet your friends.
And I won't know who they are because they're under hood.
I won't tell them I majored in art.
Well, that took a weird turn.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually agree with you.
You think Grant should go to a Klan rally?
Yeah. Johnny, I agree with you because it's just, for me, it's a little more, I think where I'm hoping it goes is that it's more, that they get those nuances of he is a very rich man, but he's also an African-American, and it's not easy. It is different as an African-American because you have people. And I've gone through this. I grew up middle class. And my parents are upper middle class now. I've got, you know, relatives that have served time and murder and kids taken away and drugs, all that stuff. And there is an expectation of what they think you should be and then what America thinks you should be or society. And it's weird. It's constantly changing. In one way, I'm glad somebody's kind of talking about it a little bit. And it never goes away, but if it's not done right, it could be really hokey and just kind of trivial.
Who did it right was the Bernie Mac show.
Oh, yeah, Bernie Mac. Yeah,
Bernie Mac was what this show was supposed to be. I mean, that to me,
you're right.
He's a guy who's successful, who's going, I'm trying to hold on, so I brought my sister's kids in because my sister's in prison.
Yeah.
And that's how it is, you know? And it's like, but he didn't play this, you know, I'm being shit on.
No.
And I don't, it just really bothered me.
And that's why
it bothered me for somebody to be so self-obsessed and yet everything was, okay, if I say look inward, I don't want you to think I'm saying look inward. At a time for him to look inward, he was instead looking to completely externally. I did not like the karma that he was creating. But it did not make me feel any kind of empathy for him as a character.
But that's where
he even played the race card on his wife, which really bothered me.
Oh, I thought that was hilarious.
I thought it was a dickhead.
She came right back at him, which is why I think it works as a comedy.
So then you have the buffoonish husband. You know, I mean, to me, everything about him was wrong. I was really disappointed in the whole angle that they tried to play.
I guess I saw it as him having, this is a guy who's, we're catching him on kind of a bad day. It's a big change in his life and he's freaking out. And so that's what we're seeing. If this is what he's like the whole time, maybe, yeah.
You know,
I think we're supposed to see that this is he's kind of freaking out and this, the whole
conflict and the resolution is him learning to deal with it and realize, oh, I was kind of being a dick. Let me throw an awesome hip-hop party for my son.
Overall, I think that the show's kind of... It did the same thing as Cougar Town. It sort of shoots itself in the foot by deciding that they want to play on this one very narrow idea rather than making a show that just could have legs and really develop all these characters and just kind of allow us to be viewers, a fly on the wall in their life and have this like absurd sort of viewpoint. But I mean, it's like, oh, we're going to really explore for a couple seasons, if that's their goal, this constant struggle for him and his identity about how black he is.
Yeah, you know, and that's where like a show like Men of a Certain Age was awesome because it was still kind of funny, still had its dramatic points. You had three kind of different viewpoints, guys in their 50s, going in their 50s, and three different stages of their life. That also dealt with race, sex, being single, being a father, all that kind of stuff, money, economic stuff. Scott Bakula's character was basically a mooching actor. But I mean, and I like that. I don't know if Blackish could ever become like, because it's supposed to be the...
Well, it's not going to be that. That's a different
but
tone.
I mean, but then it's also like, and that's where I kind of wish ABC, with some of these comedies where they are dealing with relatively serious stuff, they can let things, like, it shouldn't be just pinpoint put in a box of comedy and drama. Maybe it's because I've been watching Louie too much that I think you could take these, I think these type of topics need to be drawn out and think and thought about more seriously than just.
I guess I don't think that's what this show set out to do. I guess maybe my expectations were lower than the rest of you guys because it sounds like you guys did not like it anywhere near as much as I did.
No, I liked it. I liked it. It's okay.
But I really liked. I was surprised by how much I liked the first episode. I thought it was really funny. I thought Anthony Anderson and Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
I thought they had great chemistry. I thought she was surprised. I've never seen her anything, and I thought she was great.
I thought the kids are kind of.
I like what I saw. The kids.
Mommy, daddy, scaring me.
Twins. I do think
you're probably the wrong thing to say.
That's not the response.
But you know, it's just blummy script writer.
I think it's a lot to have twins. I think for TV.
Oh, they're twins. I didn't even get that.
You know, I also
a boy, yeah.
I also want to say, brother. Like, Lawrence Fishburne killed it here. I thought everything he said, every reaction was
cool. Lawrence Fishburne is 53 years old.
Yeah.
That's the other problem.
And they've said the line about he shot himself in the foot to get out of Vietnam. He's my age, you know.
But
people
pops,
that are in Vietnam are 80 years old now.
So we accept 50-year-olds playing 30 all the time. You can't accept a 53-year-old playing 60 or 70.
What I don't accept is this. Well, I sure don't accept him playing 80, which is the average, you know, Vietnam vet is.
That is not right.
No, that's not right.
They're 70. My dad would.
What
have
are you talking
Vietnam.
About?
My dad's 80. 69. My dad, his
well,
next
my
door.
My stepfather. Would have been 80.
Mid 60s.
It was in the mid to late 60s. Because you figured, 60s 50 years ago or 54 years ago. So.
Yeah, if you were, you'd have been 35 in Vietnam if you were 80.
And they went in as 18 and 19 year olds, too.
So. Well, you're right about that.
Yeah, you're trying
to. I still think that they inflated his. I just thought that was an unnecessary.
Well, it's because Anthony Anderson is 44 years old. That's why it's ridiculous that
he
can't be his father.
Lawrence Fishburne can't be his father.
He's my. It's like Lawrence Fishburne being my dad. I mean, me and Anthony we're about the same age.
Yeah, right. I thought Lawrence Fishburne was great.
Lawrence Fishburne is 2 years older than me.
Yeah,
I thought I would have thought that he would have said, "Son, you need to dial that shit back." At some point.
We kind of did a little bit.
Yeah, he spent most of the time sort of rolling his eyes at him.
Yeah.
I think that it should change the name of the show just so it's not just so pigeonholed by this concept.
It's too late for the bad title.
I know.
Yeah.
And I think that they just need to look at developing their characters a little bit more, but I think that they have some strengths. They just need to work on it.
My big problem was the stuff that he should have been annoyed with and spoken up about was the shit that he never spoke up about except with his passive-aggressive video presentation.
Yeah.
He should have said, hey, don't fucking Dr. Dre, Ray me. You know,
yeah.
He should have said, I'm a professional and I'm a senior vice president, so I don't want to hear that kind of shit in my office.
That doesn't sound
and
funny.
And instead, well, it can be, you know. I mean, it's a lot funnier than watching some guy play step and fetch it outside of his window.
Yeah.
And that bothered me.
Yeah. Well, I think it's supposed to. That guy's supposed to be a jackass.
Yeah.
Well,
and there are people like
I just felt like everybody in the show was a jackass.
Well, I don't know.
I do agree with Johnny that it seems to want to dance around what could be a potentially like very serious subject,
yeah.
But it's too white bread to want to actually confront it. It just wants to, you know, dip its toes in and then go, haha, just kidding. And then here's the punchline. It's a bit weak, I guess.
I think you guys are looking for a different show, and that's fine.
I'm between you guys because I see the problems with it. But I also see the potential. I'm just more optimistic that it's going to reach more of the potential than fall back into silliness.
I don't think this was like an amazing pilot or anything, but I thought. I see a lot of potential there, and there was good chemistry in the characters. It's better than a lot of comedy pilots I've seen.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's where I come down. So we're split decision. America, what did you think?
Yeah, here we go. Let's move on. We got a bunch of shows to talk about.
Next up, we've got a comedy I think we'll all agree on, which is Brooklyn Nine-Nine returned on Sunday.
Yay!
And did everyone catch Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes.
On Sunday? Yes.
And did everybody like Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yes. It was solid.
Yeah,
they have a cast and they just know what everyone needs to do. Everyone's always on point. The comedy is tight. They know all their cutaways and it's just all the way through. Even the parts that aren't like just gut bustingly funny are just it's just good.
There's no better face on television now than the Andre Brower. I'm smiling.
Yeah. When Joe LaTrulia put smiling. That hat on, it said Mafia.
Yeah, that was.
I laughed out loud over that one little moment. Oh, good, I'm ready. I'm ready to go undercover. And he put on a gardening hat. He just goes Mafia.
Yeah.
But I mean, what Greg said, the you helped me find my smile.
Yeah,
that moment killed me. That is never not funny.
And what was the line from his childhood journal about?
Oh yeah, that's strictly verbatim from my childhood journal.
Yeah, that character may be the best straight man in TV.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and Timmy, the 6'2", 190 or 290 pounds. I'm a tight 240.
Terry Crews. I'm so happy to see all of them working and enjoying each other.
I do kind of wish. I mean, I love seeing Andre Brower's role, but I sometimes I'm like, man, I want him to also get to play silly occasionally.
We've done that a couple of times.
When he did a flashback.
When he just had that conversation about the Candy Crush saga. I don't know how he did that without cracking everybody up in the middle of it.
And the flashbacks, like, because he's gay, he's talking about being gay in his 70s, and he's there with that straight face in his 70s with a mustache and a wig. I don't know. I
think they had that one scene with him and his husband at home, and he's like laughing and having a great time. And they're like, "Who the hell is this?"
And Chelsea Peretti with the blind mole rat shirt was so funny.
That was nasty. It was awesome.
It looks a lot uglier than on Kim Possible.
Oh yeah.
I also like Jake as sort of Jake's always been sort of the sloppy guy. Mm. You know, he's the plays by his own rules, but. I loved him as sort of being a perfectionist. Like, one guy out of his 16 guys gets away and he just can't handle it.
And he drives onto the runway.
Yes, I loved that. It sort of shows that Jake is supposed to be a guy who, despite his demeanor, is good at his job.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's really important character balance.
Well, what do you think of them doing the whole relationship thing?
I'm not crazy about will they, won't they. Those characters have great chemistry, but I don't really want to see extended will they, won't they with them.
I feel like... It sort of makes the female character almost have to take a back step.
Yeah, I agree.
When they do that, it's like, oh, now she's just relegated to a love interest rather than a she was a character in her own right who's very interesting.
Chelsea Peretti and Joe Latrulio into some kind of a crazy sexual congress.
It doesn't
makes both of them. It lifts both of them.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I agree there.
I will say they wasted Jenny Slate.
Yes.
And that's a crime.
That is.
She was awfully cute, though.
Oh, she was awfully cute.
I mean, she even had a line that cracked me out. I can't remember what it was.
No, she was funny.
Maybe we'll see her some more.
I'll also say that I thought this was not one of their best episodes, but it was a good, solid return. I'm glad to have it.
Yeah.
I thought it started out strong. I loved the intro with the wedding.
The kissing old guys.
Kissing old guys. All of it. The big mafia wedding.
That was funny.
And I also, that's one thing. I like that they skipped over the undercover stuff. But yeah, they did the flashback of him going back to undercover so that we got to have him undercover, but we didn't have to spend like the first four episodes with him separate from the rest of the cast.
You got to see him singing Billy Joel.
Yes,
and that was all it took.
And we did Piano Man together. We're tight.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Also returning in comedies, also on Fox that same night, is Family Guy and Simpsons. Did anyone else watch this?
I watched it, and I kind of nodded out a couple of
times. Now, The Simpsons. You saw the Don Hertzfeldt opening credit sequence?
Wow.
That was bizarre, and I laughed at every second of it.
I really need to watch it again, too.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, that was really great.
Really great.
The actual episode was a little forgettable, but it was okay.
Yeah, I liked it.
What happens?
Krusty's father died.
Why was Family Guy there?
Oh, that was a different episode.
Family Guy was actually a Family Guy episode.
And it was a full hour.
It was an hour long.
And it didn't need to be an hour.
And they commented on that halfway through. They're like, yeah, you should only do this for 30 minutes.
Yeah, if it would have been a 30-minute show, it would have been better.
Oh, so Simpsons showed up in Family Guy, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do they look like themselves?
Yeah. It's the Simpsons anime. Basically,
they look all big yellow weirdos.
The Family Guy pitch is, they make fun of the yellow cat.
Yeah. Thank you, our albino friends.
the Family Guy.
Wait, I would have been Homer said that. Have a donut, my albino friend.
Basically, Peter starts writing a comic strip, offends all the people in his neighborhood. They have to leave town. They wind up staying in Springfield, and they move in with the Simpsons for a little while. That's the premise. And
there were some great cutaways. Brian and Santa's little helper. You know, Brian is totally offended.
Back feet
on the floor with you, and Santa's little helper's going crazy.
Yeah,
you know, stuff like that, but. Yeah.
Stewie and Bart mix up, and Stewie develops this big crush on Bart and kidnaps all his enemies to torture them. I mean, they definitely highlighted the difference between Family Guy and The Simpsons, and they riffed on it. Was very meta in a Family Guy way. They riffed on The Simpsons, you know, Family Guy's a Simpsons ripoff. They had a funny courtroom scene where James Woods from The Family Guy and James Woods from The Simpsons talk to each other.
Oh, wow.
They do some really funny bits with, like, all the different characters, like the different character archetypes from each show, are sitting next to each other in the courtroom. They did a little cutaway where they had Bob's Burgers made an appearance.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's
kind
of
cool too.
There were a lot of Family Guy little nods, and there's also a hilarious and excruciating scene where Peter and Homer get dolled up like sexy girls and do a car wash. And they, to the tune of Warren's Cherry Pie, and the genius of it is, I believe it went on for, like 2 minutes.
The fight went on way too long, but it was still, I mean, it was worth watching, but it could have been shorter.
But you know what? That's the Family Guy way. They go on long, and what it's supposed to do, and what it does at its best, is it's funny, it gets tiresome, and then again, it gets funny again because it's still going. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the fight did a pretty good job of that. It was a extended Peter Simpson, you know, Peter and the Homer fight. Mm-hmm. That was an homage to the chicken stuff. If you're a Family Guy fan, it probably struck much more in your wheelhouse than Simpsons. It reminded me that, I didn't always hate Family Guy.
Well, interesting to note, donuts don't exist in the Family Guy.
In the Family Guy universe, that's right. They had never heard of donuts. It was more fun than I expected. I did not put Family Guy back on my DVR like I did with The Simpsons, but if you ever had a fondness for a Family Guy and you like The Simpsons, it's worth checking out. It was funny.
Okay.
Next up, also animated, South Park.
Wow. Now, I think I'm the only one who checked it out.
I haven't watched it. It's still on the air. I've not watched that show for like 15 years.
It's not The Simpsons, but it has been on for a long time.
South Park started when I was in the womb, I think, right?
It's been on like almost 20 years.
It's been on my whole marriage. It's been on my whole marriage.
Oh, wow. You're old.
I know. Almost as old as Larry Fishburne.
You know, actually, I think the first episode aired right after Pop shot himself in the foot to get out of Vietnam.
I think so. Yeah.
I think that The Simpsons, or South Park, rather.
That six-year-old bastard shoot himself in the foot.
You know, that happens a lot.
So I think that South Park actually has some of the sharpest social commentary of any show. And they're able to come back and actually hit on a whole bunch of different topics in their first episode, most of which was lobbed at Kickstarter, Apple, and the Washington Redskins. And they kind of eviscerate all of them.
That's good.
Yeah.
They eviscerate Kickstarter? Ah. Oh.
They take down Kickstarter. They're like,
if they take that Lena Dunham, I'm going to be back in.
They start a Kickstarter for them to have a business where they get to make money doing nothing.
Yeah.
And and they really draw the comparisons about that business model to what Kickstarter is. Oh, it's a company that just is a portal for other people to get make money, and they make money also right. doing nothing.
Wait, exactly. Somebody's shitting on Kickstarter? How edgy. Nobody's done that.
But on top of that, yeah. they tie making fun of that to them buying the name of the Redskins off right. of the Redskins because right. they lost their copyright.
Right.
And they just kind of disgrace the Redskins are offended the football team
yeah.
are offended that they took the name and they're doing it a disservice and they're making a mockery of it.
Oh boy.
And so yes. you know, of course things just culminate with this football battle where one Redskin goes out to fight all of the Cowboys. And he's massacred by the Cowboys. A Redskin is massacred.
Which, for anybody who doesn't know, football, it's like a huge rivalry.
Yeah.
Huge.
But,
I thought it was just a historical reference.
Yeah, I think it's a historical reference.
that as well.
Levels. Yeah. It was just some off Gunsmoke.
Anyway, it was a really good episode.
How did they
it was nice.
Apple, though? Which is easy to do.
They just kind of, they didn't. Apple was a little bit more of a nod, and they were doing presentations. Cartman was doing presentations for his business, mm-hmm. and just being really smarmy and presenting a lot of like bullshit features that of their company that won't actually help anyone. But it's like being really pretentious and smarmy about it, and then they're like, "Yeah, that doesn't help anyone."
Yeah.
So yeah, I was excited to have it back. I want to see them do some more takedowns of some topical things.
You know, the only thing that kills me about South Park, and I haven't watched it in a long time, I love South Park and love Book of Mormon. When I found out the two guys behind it were sort of libertarian guys, it's sort of, I realized that all their edginess sort of boils down to, you're all stupid and it's stupid to care about things. And that kind of ruined a lot of their stuff for me. It's like, they've always got to...
Why do you care?
Huh?
Why do you even care?
I know, why do I care? But that's the thing. It's like they in their even-handedness of taking down of everybody. I'm like, I kind of want them to pick a side, but it's always like, well, you're all stupid to get worked up about anything.
I don't know. That's
my problem with South Park.
I guess you wanted to fight for your own cause.
Yes,
and that's the funny thing. That's a funny thing.
That's funny because they're set in Colorado, and a lot of people in Colorado are libertarians.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I used to like it better, and this probably reflects more on me than them, but I used to like it better when I was like, oh, okay, they're making fun of these guys. And then I realized, oh, they're kind of making fun of everybody, and they don't have a point of view.
They're an equal opportunity offender, and they want to just point out the hypocrisy that everyone has.
But what it boils down to is don't care about anything. But you don't have any convictions.
But they
don't be shitty to people is always a thing.
That's not the message of South Park.
Oh, I think it is.
Don't be shitty to people. Well, yeah. The show is shitty to everyone.
But I don't know. The only thing
you're shitty to shitty people.
But Cartman's, you know, a shitty person.
I know,
that's true.
And I don't know enough of the work to know if this is true or not. Just from what I've seen, I don't think they ever really Matt Stone and the other dude. Do they ever like poke fun at themselves and how ridiculous they are taking out everything?
You know they do, and that's
okay.
Fair.
If they do that, then okay, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
As long as they can laugh at themselves in their own whatever way they manifest in all their art, then I'm
sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I guess I lost it. I used to love it, and I sort of lost interest in it.
Well, so. It's like, you know what they're like. It's like reading Catcher in the Rye or something. Like, you know, it's like. You get it for a moment, and then you kind of move on, and they're still doing the same stuff. Okay, I get it. But, you know, you can't be an angry against everything all the time your whole life. Then you
what
have
you got?
Randy can.
Then you just turn into an asshole. Then,
yeah.
you're just a cynical asshole.
Randy is.
You know, all the time about everything.
They were real assholes to Isaac Hayes. And I was,
oh, that too. They
That one was like,
yeah.
Hey, man, you don't fuck with Isaac
that
Hayes.
Too,
everybody
yeah.
died.
Yeah,
was
that
like,
was...
Y'all were assholes.
Well, he died because he used Scientology instead of medicine, right?
No, he died on the treadmill. He had a heart attack at the treadmill.
I thought Isaac Hayes was an asshole first.
Isaac Hayes didn't have enough thetans in his system. That's why he died.
That's some cold shit.
Isaac Hayes was never an asshole, first of all. Not first or last.
Watch Stacks, please.
Sorry. Exactly.
I had to go. See,
exactly.
That's black enough for you?
All right. What's our next show, Randy?
Our final show, which hopefully is black enough for everyone, is Key and Peele.
Oh,
which returns for its fourth season. This was a really strong episode back. They changed the framing sequence, so it's not them in front of a crowd anymore.
Right.
It's them in a car talking. I'm sure it'll be different. Like maybe it'll be in a bar next time, but it's them just sort of talking and riffing without an audience. And I thought that worked better.
I didn't like their riffing in front of the audience. It felt like it was just a fake. A callback. Yeah, it felt fake, and it was like a callback to Chappelle's show, but it wasn't like what they were doing as much.
I like the riffing aspect of it,
yeah,
but I didn't like the audience part, and that's what they've kept. They've kept the part where it's just the two of them talking like buddies.
That's good, okay.
And they use that as sort of a interstitials between the sketches to lead into thematically what their conversation will lead to the sketches.
Their sketches, they put some money into those. Yeah. They look great.
Yeah, the alien invasion one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a fun special event and a great one.
And that one guy, they do kind of like what Last Week does. They get a lot of social media buzz and they promote it beforehand.
There was also the Obama greeting people.
Which made me laugh so hard.
Yep.
It was just, there's certain things about this black culture that I thoroughly enjoy, but the handshake greeting thing, which is, I've always known, but to see you actually play it like that, the funniest parts of that are when he just shakes a baby's hand.
Yeah.
And then the one guy at the end, he just walks past him, and one guy is like, he puts his hand out and pulls it back because the president's walked past him. And even then, and then him going to, he's got to check how black he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's one of them. Oh, okay, yeah, that's hilarious.
Yeah, well, it was a similar gag to what they did on Blackish, actually. Yeah. And then
but
the
done
other,
better.
And the other one that I love was the gay wedding. And this is why I love Key and Peele, because it's not just about black versus white.
No.
They cover a lot of different stuff. And a big family trying to adjust to what was going to happen at a gay wedding that gets with increasingly ridiculous questions. I was dying. And all those sketches, the alien invasion, the gay wedding, and the Obama doing the rope work on the line. All three of those are on YouTube. Go check them out. Key and Peele came back really strong.
Yeah. I find I watch more of the. I only watch on YouTube, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're getting more and more buzz, so I imagine they're getting a bigger audience as it kind of.
I watch every episode. I love that show.
I got in late on it, but yeah, I watch all the skits. I usually watch it on YouTube.
Or,
you know, whatever's posted online. I follow on Facebook, and they always make me laugh. And it's like. It was like when Chappelle's show was hot for 2 seconds, when he was...
Yeah.
And that to me, and for me, when I see comedians do that, when they know, like, this was the genius of Louis, you know, it's the genius of Richard Pryor, where it's racial or it's some kind of subversive thing or something wrong with society, and they know how to make it funny without losing how important it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's just genius.
I agree. Switching topics a little bit, we're going to talk a couple dramas that have just returned, one new, one returning. Real quick, because I think I'm the only one who watched it. Red Band Society on Fox.
Red Band Society, it's about the group of people that watch the uncensored NC-17 trailers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was about
very specific show.
Actually, it's a callback to the Band of the Hand movie.
Oh my gosh, you brought that up. That's a great, go Google that. That is a great reference. I thought it was about communists, I'm sorry.
it's communists who play musical instruments, yes. No, Red Band Society it sounds really depressing. It's about kids living in a sort of terminal ward of a hospital.
Hold up. I swear we need to do a flashback to about 2 years ago on the TV Dudes, or three.
Yep.
Mr. Kids with Cancer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wasn't this a TV show you pitched?
It might have been.
You pitched this, Kids with Cancer.
Yeah, you're right.
You have to describe this a little more.
This is all, I don't remember the pitch. That was 3 years ago.
No, I mean this show.
Yeah. So basically, this is the hospital. It's very Fault in Our Stars kind of thing. There's two kids with cancer. There's a kid who has an eating disorder. There's a cheerleader who has a heart problem. They're all in this ward. Griffin Dunn plays a rich hypochondriac who's going to leave his money to the hospital, and so he's like the mentor figure who lives there and occasionally gets them weed. Octavia Spencer.
Griffin Dunn?
Yeah, Griffin Dunn.
Is he sick?
He's an ex-hippie, who thinks he's sick.
Is he a doctor?
Nope, he's rich.
So he's just hanging out in a hospital.
He lives in the hospital because he's hypochondriac. He's not with the kids, he's like in a separate thing, but they all hang with him.
Is he imaginary?
No, well, maybe.
I mean, hospitals are, you can't just come and go wherever you want.
If you're rich enough,
especially when you have sick kids.
Yeah.
That are,
I believe the idea is that we're supposed to buy into this is that he's so rich he says he's going to leave his money to the hospital, therefore they let him live there.
Okay.
Why would you want to live there?
So
I know.
So here's the thing, because you're a hypochondriac, you want to be near the doctors.
Yeah, I'd rather just have a doctor in my house.
But you're not a hypochondriac.
But this is like an oncologist ward.
It's sort of a live-in ward basically.
But it's not just, it's got disorders too, so it's not just like cancer.
It's serious illnesses that need to be maintained. You have to live at the hospital.
All right, so what's the meat of this? Like, what's
a
the point?
Bubble boys.
Yeah, John Travolta's
he's their
there?
Bubble boy mentor.
Can you ask me that question like Ice-T would?
So you're saying that
what
that the Griffin done? Wait. So you're saying Griffin Dunn is like a rich weed guy, and there's a whole bunch of bubble boys who are hanging around him, and they're in a band?
Yes, I see. That is the exact thing.
And there's like some
society.
Skinny bitches, and a guy with a hole in his heart.
So it's also
a hole in his heart.
And a hole in his heart.
Are they gonna go play stickball?
By the way, guys, I'm not done.
Wait.
It's narrated by a 12-year-old in a coma.
Oh my God!
Wait, so you're saying does he talk in his sleep?
No,
he don't have a tube down his throat.
Can this be good?
He talks from a magical coma place where anyone else who goes to
is he in a snow globe? I'm imagining in a snow globe.
So here's the thing about this show. There's
more than one thing about this show.
There is no way on earth this would have made my DVR, except that they advertised the hell out of it during the Simpsons marathon. And my 11-year-old daughter said, I want to watch that.
Uh-huh.
And so I said, okay. And she wanted me to watch it with her, so I sat down and watched it with her. And
you cried like a bitch!
I did. No, I don't know if I cried at this one. But
I hear ya.
It's better than you'd think it would be. It's over the top. I mean, it's melodrama, and but people have compared it to Glee, which I've never seen 5 minutes of.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet they're right.
I've seen a lot of Glee.
So what's going on?
There's a kid who comes over the border. He wants this surgeon to operate on him. He needs to have his leg cut off, and the other kid already has his leg cut off.
So he's for a real cheap down in Matamoros.
So
white people prices.
It's sort of how
you play white people prices for your leg to be cut off.
How do you pay for that?
It's sort of how teenagers interact if they're in a sort of a microcosm where they can't get out and talk to other kids. They all have in common is that they have this weird messed up medical history and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And it's interesting. It's the characters are pretty good. The music use is really good. They do a really good opening montage in episode two to Queen.
Episode two. You're on the episode.
I'm on episode two.
Is that the one where you cried?
To Queen's Hammer to Fall.
Is Ice-T in the Mafia?
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this weird Randy thing.
I don't know.
This enigma we call Randy.
I like this show more than I... If Katie were to say, okay, I'm not watching it anymore, it'd go off the DVR immediately. Like, I don't care. But
yeah, right.
As long as it's on and I don't have a ton of other stuff, I'll watch it. It's not as bad as I thought it would be based on the premise and the commercials and the fact that it's on Fox and people are comparing it to Glee and the premise sounds terrible.
Compared to another medical show, how is it like compared to ER? Or
man, it's not even in ER's class.
Or Grey's Anatomy.
I've never seen Grey's Anatomy. But no, this is more teen drama. This is more closer to something like Kevin Williamson's show.
Boys.
So wait, you've mentioned
Party Boys.
you've mentioned
Kevin Williamson
the
Following. Kevin Williamson show.
Wait, but you haven't mentioned Octavia Spencer.
I did mention Octavia Spencer.
No.
But then Ice-T cut me off.
Oh no, but what's her role? I don't understand what her role is.
She's the nurse. She's the
black woman.
She's the tough nurse who runs who's the no nonsense mom that the kids run to. And
does she have a heart of gold?
She has a heart of gold.
Okay.
She orders pizzas at the end for the kids because she has a heart of gold.
Of course.
Does Griffin Dunn pay for them?
No, she pays for them because you know nurses make tons of money.
They do. They make a shitload of money.
So she comes in, and this will give you the tone of the show, I believe. The gag. She comes in, and she's got her cup from Starbucks, and on it it says "scary bitch." And the gag is that the Starbucks woman saw that she's a scary bitch. That's about the level.
Is that like? Is like
what gangster ass Starbucks does she shop at?
No, I was gonna say
coffee for scary bitch.
No.
I got a coffee for scary bitch
I thought this coffee person might have been at the New York Times and just thought she was shot.
Angry black woman
is angry. Yes.
At any rate, Red Band Society.
Any of them die yet?
No. They're going to save that for sweeps, Johnny. Come on.
Yeah, well, I'm no point of watching if kids aren't dying.
Well, I mean, you know, you think they'd set the stakes with, damn it, this is the part of the job I hate the most.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Pop
but they haven't done it yet.
Gloves.
So To close out, here's the quote that Fox can use. They're free to welcome to use. Red Band Society. It's not as bad as you think.
Oh, my God. Wow. You sell it. All right. Well, let's move on to our last show.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. from ABC.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Sorry. Full title.
They should, you know what they should do is spell out the whole acronym for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Marvel's Agents of Society for the Help of Everybody.
As seen on Avengers.
Yes.
And they call it Tyler Perry's.
Tack on that. He gets a credit.
Yeah, actually, Tyler Perry's
Josh Whedon's Tyler Perry. And who's the guy who, and the butler's guy, the guy who did the butler. Put all the names.
Lee Daniels, there you go.
Yeah, Lee Daniels presents Tyler Perry's S.H.I.E.L.D. directed by
Josh Whedon.
Yeah.
This is a terrible idea, yeah. Guys. So that episode, I mean, season two, it comes back strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that it opens with Haley Atwell and
The
Howling Commandos.
That made me so happy.
I mean, That was a big budget move, and yeah, it seems like Marvel and ABC are recognizing you need to shit or get off the pot with this show.
It was almost like an apology.
It was like they
sent everybody a dozen roses. Like, we're real sorry about last year.
We know this is what the show should be, and here's a little glimpse of what we have to come.
Well, the thing is, by the end of last season, they had figured out what the show should be. My worry was, are they going to forget that and come back and do the same slow build that they did? And they did not do that. They picked up where they left off.
They jumped in with both feet.
Yes.
They have the whole S.H.I.E.L.D., I guess, rogue agency kind of in operation. It's growing. They've added new people. Now, I like the introduction of Absorbing Man. We saw him before, didn't we?
No. This was my favorite part. They got Absorbing Man dead on perfect. The special effects were good. They even had a nod to him using his wrecking ball, which was fantastic.
Ah.
So you haven't seen that part yet?
No, I haven't seen the whole episode.
It was great. And they nailed it. There's a part later on where he uses his powers in sort of a way I haven't seen in the comics. And I thought that was great, because that was one of the things they didn't do in S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D. felt so disconnected from the Marvel Cinematic for the most part, for most of last year. This is undeniably part of Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I think that's a big change.
I feel like the whole first season doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
I mean, you could just say that never happened.
You could jump right into this.
Then
yes,
I will jump back in.
Yeah, I really do. Okay. Just, I mean, you don't have to get caught up. Just pretend that you, that never happened.
If you've seen Winter Soldier, you know all you really
need. Exactly.
I will watch Winter Soldier, and then I will catch up.
Although, it's kind of nice to know the dynamic that was there before.
I mean, I would say, you know, if you want to watch, you can watch the last three or four of the previous previous series, but you don't have to. You can jump right into this. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Lawless is great.
Yeah.
And her mercs. I thought that was a fun thing.
So, one of the mercs, is he Jamie Maddox? Maddox?
No, I don't think he's supposed to be.
Because they mentioned, like, he has, they're brothers. Those are twin brothers.
No, they were talking about Patton Oswalt's character.
Oh, that's who they're talking about.
That was a nod toward his LMD status, which I'm sure they'll reveal eventually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a nod toward...
And he's talking about his brothers.
He seemed happy to be there.
Yeah.
Too, didn't he?
Well, sure, he's just a robot. He does whatever they tell him to.
I mean, he was just so...
Patton seemed happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, like, I'm sure he loves it, yeah.
I'm part of the Marvelverse, and I have this body.
Yeah.
And it made me be in the Justice Society.
Also, Agent Tripp is such a great addition. He's the black guy. He's the former.
Yeah, my only thing was when he walked up in the uniform and he had that beard. I'm like, dude, come on. Nobody's going to let you in a general's uniform with a beard.
Did he have a beard?
Yes, he had a beard.
I don't notice these things.
Thank you for guarding our top military bases.
I don't know enough about the military. I figure when you get to be a general, you can wear hipster sideburns and carry a pipe.
No.
If they allow Adrian Pazdar to have that nasty mustache,
right,
why wouldn't they allow the beard?
My mustache was barely out of regulations, but it was out of regulations.
Was it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Johnny. You don't read as many comics, so let me tell you. In the Marvel Universe, facial hair, it's the reverse. It's like a bizarro thing. You have to have facial hair to be in the military.
Oh.
Are you buying this at all?
General Ross? General Ross had a mustache?
It's required in the Marvel. It's part of the Hulk.
Oh.
It's part of the military code of conduct.
Generally, it has to have a mustache.
It's part of the military code of conduct. You have to have facial hair.
Yeah.
It's in the moment. You're not buying this at all. No. It's good to totally lie.
Yeah, they're called eyebrows. That's the facial hair you're allowed when you're a general.
So overall, you guys think this season is going to like integrate much better with what they're doing with the rest of Marvel Universe.
It sure looks like it. And even if it doesn't, it was a better standalone show.
So I didn't see the whole episode, obviously. I already said that. But Absorbing Man, is it just the villain of the week?
He is, but it's tied into Hydra, which is going to be clearly the villain of the season series.
He was more of a weapon than a villain.
Yeah, he was a merc. He was hired on just like Lucy Lawless's guys on S.H.I.E.L.D. side.
Do they explain how he has his abilities?
They just call him a gifted, which is apparently the term they're using.
Oh, okay.
They don't say how he got it. I don't know. I don't remember in the comics how he got it. My comic trivia fail. I don't remember. But I think it's like Asgardian magic type thing, so they're probably not going to go that way.
Hmm. I'll be really interested to see, because while this is running, we should be getting a Daredevil near the end of this season.
I think so, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to integrate it all.
Could be. I mean, Matt Murdock shows as a lawyer or something.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Hmm. All right, well.
Well, let me ask one question to Johnny, because how do you think this stacks up to Arrow now?
Oh, it's too early for me to tell. Yeah. And they're different animals.
Because everybody, I mean, that was their frame from all last season is, ugh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s terrible, Arrow's great. And I'm like, I feel like they're going to be maybe more on an even keel now.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know yet?
I don't know. I like Arrow more.
Yeah.
Somebody wrote to us, sorry, I can't remember your name, faithful listener. Somebody wrote and said, Johnny needs to recognize that Arrow's just Robin Hood Batman. And I'm like, no, he's not.
No, Arrow's... And I have my issues with Arrow, but Arrow is not...
Robin Hood.
Arrow's a good show.
Yeah, and Arrow is a good show, and Robin Hood's a good character to base yourself on.
And Batman's a terrible character, is that
what
you're
saying? Yes, Batman's...
He's an asshole.
Gotham Episode 2, not to get too carried away on that segue, but, yeah, it's like, okay, I'm right.
Wait, how is Arrow not, like, just like Batman?
He is very much like Batman, but that's not all it is.
Well, Arrow the show...
I guess he had parents.
Arrow the show, he comes back with a mission. He's on a mission. He has the list.
You understand that Batman has a mission, right?
They're on a mission from God. He has a mission too to clean up the city.
Oh, that's vague.
Oh, what's his mission?
What's Arrow's mission?
Green Arrow. Arrow came back.
Green Arrow's going to clean up the city.
Arrow had a very specific list of targets that he was going to take out.
But that was season one. In season two, he's just cleaning up the city.
Well, because everything went crazy when he started. You can't start shit like that. Well, snowball.
What if Batman had a list? You just haven't seen that story.
Batman didn't have a list. Batman's just an asshole.
You know what you sound like?
He has a list of medications he should be on.
Oh, wait, okay, you just basically said from Dark Knight, the Michael Caine speech, so, you know, what did you expect when you took away all the criminals? They had to hire somebody that they couldn't control. That's what you just described with the second Arrow.
Michael Caine verbatim, I believe, in that movie.
I said.
Is that... She was 16 years old.
Master Bruce.
Some men just want to see the fire.
I made a promise to your daddy that I would look after you,
okay, can we,
and I failed.
Wait, how would Michael Caine interview Ice-T talking about Arrow?
I think Michael Caine should ask Ice-T about Batman.
Yeah, I would see that.
But I don't know that we have time for TV.
No, no.
Week, so we'll have to share that little tidbit with
That's
you guys
awesome,
later, I
Mike.
Think.
All right, well...
I didn't know Michael Caine was here.
I draw air looking at you. I'm just a boy looking at another boy who's looking at me.
Yo, that's a Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts.
We have no time for TV News Theater. All right, guys.
Garland.
Dear listeners, thank you for checking us out this episode. And please send us your questions to mail@thetvdudes.com. Please go to iTunes and remember to give us a 5-star rating. Go ahead and write a little review in there, too, and we can read it on the show. And like us on Facebook. Like us on Twitter. You guys can check out all of our other content on TV Dudes. We got great writers now that are writing for us. And until next week,
TV Dudes out. The next dozen. Cool. Like how I have 22 and I'm something. Then it's for you, so who gon' get the next dozen?
ready, pronounce the stout watch. So I wanna see who get it spread on the style. The bomb, the bomb, the dang, 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 dang. This room girl don't play with the bomb, the dang, 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 dang. Style is the bomb, the bomb, the dang, 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 dang. This room girl don't play with the bomb, the dang, 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 dang. Style is the bomb, diddy bomb, diddy dang, diddy dang, diggy diggy. This room girl don't play with the bomb, diddy dang, diddy dang, diggy diggy. Style is the bomb, diddy bomb, diddy dang, diddy dang, diggy diggy. This room girl don't play with the bomb, diddy dang, diddy dang, diggy diggy. I press trigger, I don't press people button. Nobody chaps, come face me with something. Like how I have 22 and I'm something. Then it's for you, so who gon' get the next dozen? I press trigger, I don't press people button. Nobody chaps, come face me with something. Like how I have 22 and I'm something. Then it's for you, so who gon' get the next dozen? Anytime they ready, pull now, see, stop, why? Cause I wanna see who get it spread on the style. Is the bomb, did they bomb, did they dang, 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 dang. I just stop, deal with. Tell you they a friend and then badmouth again.